intellectual. Lynn Chapel Street from the USBI.
Here we go. Run away. You can't run away from yourself. Cause when it's only you and you alone, who will be your help? Nobody but yourself. Tell you, run away.
Yo, 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 what's going on, people? It's your boy Kim. And welcome back to the Flying Intellectual Podcast. Got some dubs running in the background as a result of my guest. He feeling militant. I think we all are feeling militant right now. There's a lot going on. But we gonna get into it. I got my boy Sean David in the building this evening, straight out of St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands. He's a content coordinator at CNN. So I have to lower the music a little bit for that, because that's a big deal. CNN is a very coveted job. So let's start with that. He's also a visual producer, film producer, overall visual creative, better known as S. Dot for those who are really familiar. He's been doing this for a while, and I've been able to make a great friendship with my brother, and we're building together. And to have him on the podcast, it was an easy call. So I'm glad for him to come on. So once again, let's welcome my boy Sean. My boy, welcome to the podcast, bro. I appreciate you.
Tim, what's going on, bro?
I'm blessed, bro. I'm blessed. Feeling good. Trying to keep the mental clear, man. It's a lot going on.
Indeed. The times, man, unprecedented times, you know, energies are flaring up, you know.
Yeah.
The plate is full, bro. The plate is full.
I think we've had enough. And, you know, it's right now we see around America, everybody's kind of in unity, maybe around the world, really, you know, supporting the black man, as we have come to a place now where we are figuring out what we do, what we really going to do about this racism thing. How are we really going to continue pushing the narrative forward for our best? Not only our best, but leave the world in a better place for... Once again, oh, I forgot to say as well, guys, Sean is a dad. Forget all the other stuff. Among everything, top thing, he's a dad. So for the Amun-Ra, leaving the world in a better place for him, as much, and it's on us, it's our responsibility. So how do you feel as a dad? You know, I don't have a youth yet, so I would love to hear your perspective as a dad, seeing black men out here. You have a black son, you know, how does that affect your mental? How does that make you feel?
Oh no, man, nah, it's heavy, bro. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely heavy, you know. Nothing that could be, you know, taken lightly. You know, you're just being a father, like, you realize that you're just really thrust into, you know, this realm of responsibility, mm-hmm. That, you know, didn't exist before. Mm-hmm. You know, the funny thing is that the responsibility exists even, you know, without you having to be a dad, you know, being
Facts.
A parent, you know
Facts.
What I mean?
Facts.
The responsibility just exists, like, period. Yeah. Yeah, man, just, I mean, for me, like, the most foundational thing is just really just, like, example, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to him. You know what I mean? Like, how do I best represent the highest form of, you know, what's considered to be a man in this period of time?
Yeah.
You know, being a black man in this period of time.
Yeah.
You know, because once I, you know, I feel like once I'm able to achieve, like, that benchmark, you know what I'm saying, he can now be able to go ahead and springboard off of that. You know, so for me, it's just really like an inner job. You know, how do I make myself better? You know what I'm saying? How do I flesh out myself and round up myself and prune myself into the best type of person, you know what I'm saying, the best thing that's representative that exists right now in this time, so that he can have that platform to bounce off of. So working on myself, me working on myself would eventually, you know, show him my example.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, you know, he could just bounce off of that reference, you know?
It's a beautiful answer. It starts within, you know what I'm saying? We can't expect to lead anybody, not even ourselves. We can't even expect to lead ourselves if we don't ourselves do the work. And that's why Sean is on the podcast tonight. He has become one of my, dare I say, just accountability partners. Just like, you know, as it applies to making sure that I'm doing my part on my end as it applies to my mental. And you know, we're men, we're black men, and we happen to come from this, you know, essentially the same place as well, which is the Virgin Islands. We all is one. So, you know, kin energies and kin spirits. I definitely love your energy, and from the time I met you and see what you were doing, I rate that, you know what I'm saying? So let's give the audience, you know, your backstory. Coming up in St. Thomas, you know, explain how the culture molded you, talk about the stock that you come from, and we'll work our way to CNN now as it applies.
Yeah, but nah, man, I mean, just, you know, just grew up in St. Thomas for the most part. You know, St. Thomas is a very diverse place, you know what
I'm saying? Very diverse.
You know, we have an opportunity to touch, you know, the essence of a lot of different cultures just off of the rip of tourism, you know what I mean? So just kind of growing up in that dynamic and being exposed to a lot of different cultures and people from all over the world, be it they're visiting or living there, you know what I mean?
So
I think that in itself played a huge role in, like, cultivating my palate for the most part. My mom was very much, you know, hardworking, you know, woman in the Virgin Islands, just really trying to, you know, sort of, you know, recalibrate her chapter, like, you know, this next journey. You know, she wanted to make sure that, like, you know, the dynamic was a lot different than what she grew up in.
Yeah.
So she fought hard and worked hard to make sure that she could create that platform, you know, for me and my sister and my family.
Yeah, so you could always have, you could be better, essentially, yeah.
Indeed, and just, you know, because of that, you know what I mean, and just with her, I would say, like, her own little, like, unique taste.
Yeah.
We always had an opportunity to be exposed to, like, things that were brand new, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean, new foods. You know, new people, just different people from all over the place that would be able to just incite us on just different experiences, things that we didn't have any access to, you know what I'm saying, just being on an island. But, like, so that was a huge part, and I think that really formulated, you know, how we went about, like, you know, sort of curating our own lifestyles in terms of what we wanted to do, how we wanted to do it.
Yeah. Had that you had like that almost artsy, almost, you use that word, kind of that artsy background.
No, absolutely. Yeah. It's very diverse.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, people that we, you know, the people's houses that we went to, Cambro, like, it was like, you know, people just had, like, that man had certain paintings up on that man in that man houses. You know, certain types of books they were reading, certain type of conversations that were being had.
Right. And you were just absorbing it all.
And it would be a dynamic where I wouldn't even, like, it wouldn't be to say that, like, I was, like, wildly, like, diverse or up on a specific topic.
Right.
But they would, like, sort of, like, thrust us into, like, conversations about, you know, certain type of authors or conversations or essays, and you know what I'm saying?
So it's
like,
damn,
I don't have anything, I don't know anything about this, but, like, you talking about it in a way that I feel like I need to go ahead and, like, dig it up, you know what I'm saying? And I think that developed that hunger.
Sure.
Like it just created a natural dynamic for wanting to, like, learn more about this thing, right? Hopefully next time when I do come back around,
I could relate and I could have some information, you know, right?
I could chime in and
I actually get up from my dad too. Right. That's like my dad. Like, he always had the ability to talk to people in real time, get feedback,
right,
and then he would always make you feel like you was a part, because the next time he saw you, he wouldn't act like he didn't know you. It was always like, almost like he's springboarding off of the last thing, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's always like that processing of knowledge and that give back of knowledge,
right,
which is like the essence of, like, what communication should be.
Right, right. No, so I love that, because to me, at that point, it was like an exchange.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, at no point did I ever go into these particular spaces and feel like I was being sort of, like, ridiculed.
Right,
or,
right.
You
like,
know
out of place.
Kind of, like, berated because,
yeah, yeah,
I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah.
I'm saying? They
yeah.
were almost kind of, like, introducing it to me,
like,
in a way where, like, you know, enough for me to be able to be, like, just be introduced to the concept.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And go dig deep. So, like, with that, I would just take that and run.
Yeah.
You know? And
that's beautiful.
That just blossomed into some other vibes and just created, like, you know, this this, like, inquisitive vibe that I have now.
Yeah.
You know, this insatiable desire to always want to
learn
more.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's one thing about Sean, since I met Sean. Like, he has that hunger to learn. He's always trying to update his his mental CPU is always like, okay, Kim, what you reading? Or this what I reading? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, this something I saw the other day on the internet or whatever. Like, he's always processing information. I'm a lover of information. Like, you know, sometimes you can get overwhelmed by it, but I think for the most part, those who do have that hunger for knowledge and do want to continue bettering themselves, I think they set themselves up for a better opportunity in life. So you grow up, you're going, education, I'm assuming, was a big thing in your household.
But not for sure. Like, yeah, I think it was just a matter of, I could say definitely, like, you know, like, so education to me was like a byproduct, my boy. Mm-hmm. But like, it was always just like, you know, achieving like a certain level of excellence.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I can't say that it was like all the way a single parent home, but yeah. I definitely have to give credit to my mom, is because she, like, always, she was the one who really set like the benchmark.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So she always wanted to make sure that like we were able to reach like the highest like plateau.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? As far as like just intellect, as far as career, what have you.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, I knew that like for me to be able to get to where I needed to go, like, it had to be, you know, knowledge had to be that like byproduct. Like, yeah. I had to be able to master like at least that aspect to some degree so that they could elevate me to the place to, you know, where I obviously needed to be.
Yeah.
You know, once I got, you know, to the goal. But
yeah.
Yeah, definitely for sure. Like, education was huge. I won't say I was like the best person in terms of reading books.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm kind of coming to a place right now, and I'm like, damn, I wish I was
reading back then.
Yeah, I wish I was reading a lot of these texts like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
If I were reading these texts 10 years ago, my boy,
I would have been a whole different kind of guy,
you know what I mean? But
everything in time, though.
In time, I feel like, you know,
the journey.
Information and specifically information, it resonates at a specific time.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not ready for it, it's just not going to hit the way that it needs to hit.
That's true. That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
I always have that, you know, we all have those moments where you're like, man, I wish I had known. But yeah, even if I had known, you probably wouldn't do nothing with it.
Yeah, that was
good. You know what I'm saying? Just youthful ignorance or you know, because me now, like, I go back and I see a lot of stuff that I was told in my, you know, in my day or whatever, as a youngster, and, you know, like, you come back now, you recognize you can apply it now, you know what I'm saying, because you have that maturity, you have that level of understanding. So even as it applies to like our mental health, you know what I'm saying, like, yeah, there were some people that were talking about it, but it wasn't a thing to talk about. We weren't in an environment that probably was curated to that either. So like, you know, now with social media and all of that, you're going to see all the agendas. And one of the agendas that needs a lot of attention is mental health.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I think where we really bonded was just figuring out and talking about the fact that there's not many spaces for men's mental health. And and ladies, you know, we know you're going to be listening. We love our ladies. We are, you know, we are talking a lot about our men tonight, just on the fact of, you know, we're two men. And as I've been doing this mental health and entrepreneurship series, I've had a lot of ladies on too, which is beautiful. I don't have no problem with that. I love getting that woman's perspective because, it's a unique perspective.
Yeah.
So to have Sean on tonight, you know, we're definitely going to delve a little bit into men's mental health, creating safe spaces so that we could talk about the things that we need to talk about.
Yeah.
And being honest with ourselves, holding our brothers accountable, and creating, you know, creating a network for our brothers. I think that love, just showing love to our fellow brethren was like a thing that was kind of foreign, you know.
Sure.
I remember one of my partners, I'm going to shout him out, Jamal Moore, one of my big homies. I think he was like one of the first niggas outside of just like, you know, my immediate camp or my parents, maybe, whoever just said like, yo, bro, love you.
Yeah.
And I ain't gonna lie, like, the first time I heard it, I was like, I didn't know how to respond. Yeah. It's just, you know, I didn't think, you know, homosexual or anything like that. I just thought, I don't know how to respond. I just don't know, you know what I'm saying? And that was a weird feeling. And it was because it hadn't been normalized. And that's, you know, it sucks to say that. it kind of hurts because you almost feel like you're taking shots at, you know, some of the people who help raise you. But yeah, you know, a man telling me, yo, love you, bro. You know, it shouldn't feel like, oh, I don't know what to answer. That should be normal.
It should be foreign at all.
Yeah, because that's we should be able to relay those kind of stuff. And unlearning a lot of the stuff that we learned is a big part of the mental health thing. So let's stop there and let's talk about that. As human beings, we recognize that the human beings who were put on earth and brought us into this earth and part of our village, they did the best they could. But you also recognize that, yo, we got to unlearn a lot of stuff. And as men, we recognize that, you know, we're not here to bash men. We, you know, men do the best they can for the most part. And there are some good dudes out here. But, like, a lot of time we were passed down a lot of, you know, certain thought processes that was like, this is how we think. You know what I'm saying? And we have to now unlearn this stuff to be able to push ourselves. So how do you, like, navigate unlearning things that you recognize as actually, like, harming your growth?
So, I mean, bro, you just said, I mean, that's a huge topic, bro. It's almost like, you know, where do you begin to slice the pie? You know what I'm saying? And I think you started a really good point, a real good central point, because, one, you know what I mean? Like, we're not used to, it's weird, you know, I find it weird, us being, you know, both a composition of both, like, divine masculine and divine feminine energies.
Yeah, we're talking about that off air.
You know what I'm saying? That we are so uncomfortable with loving masculine energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And to me, like, you know, how do we really, how are we able to truly love in a masculine way without being able to receive, you know what I'm saying, like, that type of, like, love?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This is beyond, like, the sexuality.
Yeah, way beyond.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, being able to have a man just show you love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why is it that it's so awkward for us?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, just being, and why is because, you know, I mean, it's a dynamic that existed, you know, just from the slavery days, bro. Remember, we were talking about, like, you know, 350 years of slavery. Bro, 350 years, you talk about, like, that's how many generations in that shit, bro?
Average person, you know, living maybe 70-something years now.
Exactly.
Maybe.
So these people grew up, like, in that, like, context. Specifically, you know, families that didn't have fathers, right? Because, remember, they were
separated.
It was all business for them. Yeah. So they weren't really valuing
family.
Like, for them, like, the family dynamic was, it just was,
it was weak. It was, yeah, yeah, it was, you,
it didn't hold any value.
It held
no value.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So because of that, you know, we didn't really have, like, the structural dynamics that we needed to be able to push ourselves forward in a way that was going to be sufficient.
And then as a man now, not to cut you off, as a man, we had to be this super alpha male just because
super alpha,
because
bro,
you getting emasculated in front of your lady, you getting emasculated in front of your family, you getting
regularly. Yeah,
that's the thing. That's how the white, you know, that's
it's
how the
societal it became this like societal, like, practice. It's like societal ritual.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And because of that, you know, we weren't used to being able to. We were never, bro, for 350 years plus. We were never operating at our highest vibrancy, my boy. Period. You know what I'm saying? So we weren't getting that love. We were never getting the proper love. We were never in a situation where we could exchange the proper love.
Like, three centuries.
Yeah,
three and a half centuries.
Plus, bro. You know what I'm saying? So we weren't doing that. You know what I mean? So you think about how it affects our ability to properly give that.
Right.
It affects our women's ability to properly receive that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For our offspring to properly receive that for the world. You know what I'm saying? So it's so disconnected, bro. It's so disjointed.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's why we are where we are, where it's like here in 2020, 2019, or whatever it is, or for these last 20 years, pivotal years, where we've actually been in, like, poor position to do certain things. We've been incapable of being able to properly do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because all of this suffering and this absence creates, you know, an expectation of what is, which is not really true.
Yeah.
Because it's not really who we are. It's just a product of what we came from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then we just reciprocate whatever it is, narratives that are, you know, fed to us.
Yeah.
You know, so it's layered, bro. You know what I mean?
So layered.
So right now we're at a point where we're having to, again, unlearn what we've been taught, or unlearn what we've been, you know, like privy to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And being able to dial into a new form of interaction.
Yeah.
You know, a new form of engagement.
Yeah.
You know? Like we're literally having to relearn ourselves completely. And relearn each other. And we're learning how to love each other properly. You know what I'm saying? But we're behind the eight ball.
Way behind.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, in especially in the midst of some chaos too. So it's like we trying to learn how to love ourselves while these people are here busting guns at us, you know, from racism and all these other
classism
and
all these other isms. Right. You know, yeah, right. So yeah, even segueing to now, I think that was a great segue. 2020 right now, of course, guys, you know, to give you a kind of a timestamp, we are in the midst of a pandemic, obviously, corona. And we have been in the midst of the worst, you know, the worst of racism for the past, as we said, over 300 plus years. Right now, you know, we have a lot of our black men being killed by the police, period.
Oh, for sure.
And women, you know what I'm saying? Black people being killed by the police. Of course, they are probably more afraid of the black man and our physical stature and what we represent in the black community. They are scared of the black woman because obviously she's procreating, creating, you know, she's birthing these generations of black people. So it's like, you know, outside of that, she is just brilliant and she's her own goddess in her own right. So now it's like, okay, how do we stop them? And now we have this aspect where we are retaliating. And I'm a person who I feel like it's hard to tell someone how to retaliate when you do me something. You did me something and now you shocked the way I retaliate. It could be as simple as you hit me in a classroom and you just flick my ear. If I turn around, I slap the crap out of you. That's my right. Don't flick my ear, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's an agitation. So for you to kill us, and now we have cameras and we're trying to hold you accountable and you are killing us on camera. And now we have a couple buildings are being burnt and whatnot. How do you see it? Because, you know, as a lot of us, a lot of our men on the front lines, a lot of our women on the front lines, we are trying to navigate this space. We're trying to, you know, yes, we've shown love, and yes, we've done the silent protests, and yes, we shall overcome, and we have the Martin Luther King, who everybody is so quick. Once again, we love Dr. King, but they're so quick, and I feel like white people are so quick to like quickly go to Martin, but they, of course, they don't want to go to Malcolm because Malcolm was more revolutionary. How do you feel about the way that we are right now? We are clashing and we are protesting and that we are outletting essentially generations of trauma.
Destined, bro. It was destined. Like, it was destined, bro. You know what I'm saying? And I could be completely transparent and honest on this, bro. Like, it was destined to happen, Kim. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, we talked about 350 years of suffering.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's probably more than that. Like, 500 years of just, like, being told to move on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, this is a historical, you're talking about historical tragedy. And you're talking about people moving on from historical tragedy. You know, that's a tough ass, bro.
Very tough ass. You know what I'm saying? It's not realistic.
It's not realistic, you know what I mean?
But as black people, you know, I feel like we got good at it.
Well, I mean, because we had to.
They didn't have a choice,
bro. You know what I'm saying? Just like how, you know, in our song, Jay-Z was like, yo, like, you know, chitlins and, you know, this is what we had to eat.
Yeah.
We made something out of nothing. Yeah. We've been, like, since, bro, we didn't ask to come over the Atlantic, you know what I'm saying? Since we came over here, bro, we've been forced to make something out of nothing.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of survival. But that's attributed to our skills.
Yeah.
That's just attributed to the people that we are. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the type of ingenuity and creativity that we have.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Our strength level. You know what I mean? Because the truth is, like, if you were weak, we weren't even gonna be here.
No, we shouldn't be here.
Like, the idea was for them to build this
country and then eliminate.
You know what I'm saying? And eliminate.
Yeah,
and
that's
decimate.
It.
Yeah. Check? Which, so it brought. So, hey, what? So it's funny, right? So,
yeah.
All of that brings me to decimation.
Okay.
So, decimation, right? You know, basically, dictionary term. Decimation means eradicate or eliminate 10%. That of a demographic.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So if you eliminate, if you decimate, you know, a demographic or a certain set of people.
Yeah.
Like, that's 10% of the people.
Yeah.
So whenever you decimate some, like, the idea is to create some fear in the midst of that.
Yeah.
Right? Because fear is the control.
Absolutely.
So if I decimate, if I kill off 10% of your demographic, whatever, lynch, murk, whatever, however it is, shoot, you know, suffocate, like that, me stifling that 10% and sacrificing 10% of your demographic should be enough for me to control the 100% of it,
right?
You know what I'm saying? And to me, that's always been like a part of the lifestyle that comes with like white supremacy, you know what I'm saying, where they feel like they've had to stifle 10%. Or a fraction. Because remember, you know, even like in America, like we're like three, like the black male is like 3/5 of a man.
Right.
Like that's how they like created the metric.
Yeah.
It's like we are 3/5 that of what is a, you know, what a might, the value of a white man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they did that.
It's messed up.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? So, like they decimate your, you know, your culture, and they enact a certain type of fear.
Yeah.
So that they can maintain a certain narrative, and they can maintain a certain level of regime.
Yeah.
And they could, you know, I mean, it basically plays a narrative into their hands. You know what I mean? So my whole thing is like, well, you know, what do we do about that? Yeah. Well, one, are we even aware of it?
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
I think that's a phase... I think that's the phase that social media kind of brought. I think that's those who use it for the good and who are actually paying attention, because, you know, we all, you can have a tool and not use it, right? So,
for sure.
So with social media, I think that awareness started generating, which I think now is why you can have, you know, millennials and generation, what is it, Z? Who's after us? I feel old asking this, but yeah, what are those generations after us? Could unite and be like, yo, nah, frig this.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody on this right now. We tired. Because with the social media, I feel like we've been programmed now, the reverse programming, because now it's whatever the agenda you're taking in. So if you're seeing, like, black men being killed, black women being killed, you're seeing this over and over, it's programming. I could watch that video on my phone 50 times if I want to. You know what I'm saying?
Very impulse-driven.
Very impulse-driven. So now the impulse is that we're retaliating. And at this point now is about just gaining their attention. Like, look, we've been trying to say this as nice as possible, so this is how we feel. So 2020 for me, I've been deeming 2020 the year of the mental, because all of this shit is a lot. I can always speak for myself.
100%.
This week alone, I haven't even been able to really sleep, bro. Like for real, this whole George Floyd thing.
It's been a lot for sure. You know what I mean? Yeah, bro, because we're seeing it.
Yeah,
you know
that's
what I'm
the
saying?
Thing.
Like, before we were reading it in books, bro. You know what I'm saying? We were fortunate if we had the opportunity to be able to see, like, images, you know? And then, you know, were we able to stomach those images?
Right.
You know? But guess what? Now, we seen it on everybody's timeline. You know what I mean? These men are just showing this man being like snuffed out, like on tape.
Yeah,
we seen it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So that's a lot, bro.
Yeah, it's a lot.
You check, so in your face, and I think that's why people agitated in this kind of way.
Yeah,
and that's why people agitated in the '60s because it was in the man's face.
Yeah,
they were seeing it every day.
Right,
when they step out, they couldn't even go and. True. You see how we go get ice cream or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't do these in the '60s, bro. No. They had to go to a black owned, they had to literally drink from
the black fountain.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
The colored fountain.
So, you know, it was a lot. It was like, yo, like, why, you know, that was pissing people out. It was agitating people in a different way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The same way it's agitating people right now.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the Achilles heels for these times is just, it's like a leader.
Yeah.
Like leadership.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? And it don't even have to be one particular leader, but I think leadership is critical. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I feel like, again, that's just anything, right? Like, if you don't have good leadership, if you don't have somebody that's...
People perish.
...wildly, like, you know, and passionately rooted in some sort of a philosophy that you believe in.
Yeah.
Then, you know, you're kind of destined to fail, you know what I mean? It's just like, you know, you just need leadership. Like, that's in all things.
And that's why I feel like things feel so dire right now, because we have bad leadership. So, a coronavirus feels, even if it's bad, it feels 10 times as bad, because... Right. You don't have someone, you know, in times of peril, people going to look to the leadership.
Correct.
When things are good, nobody gives a shit. But like when things are bad, we're looking straight to leadership. Like, let's hear what you have to say.
Yeah, like,
help me feel better.
For
sure. Like, what are you doing about the situation?
For sure.
And we can't get those answers because we have a narcissistic, you know, and this isn't a political show, but at the same time, you know, we're in a political time.
That's across the board though.
Yeah.
That's across the board.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Leadership in all respects.
Yeah.
And, again, even leadership of ourselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we got to, at the end of the day, you know, and leadership speaks to accountability too. You know, what are we allowing?
Yeah.
That's a form of leadership.
Yeah.
Leadership of self. Like, what are we allowing to happen?
What are we not checking? What
you know
are we
what
not?
Yeah, and how do we vet that in a way, or check that in a way that's
conducive to growth.
What's going on,
yeah,
you know what I'm
saying?
Because at the end of the day, that's really what it is.
Yeah.
You know, we're here for a certain period of time, so, you know, we got to make sure that, you know, we're able to find solace in those things. You know, who are we holding accountable? Are we holding ourselves accountable? Are we doing exactly what we need to do?
Yeah.
Are we speaking? You know what I'm saying? Like, those are questions that we need to ask, you know, and those are things that just can't just, you know. Yeah. We would be doing ourselves an injustice to allow other people to make those decisions for us.
That's powerful.
You know what I'm saying?
That's powerful.
That's not anybody else. That's nobody else's responsibility other than our own.
No.
You know?
No, that's...
Because we're all certain things, you know?
We definite. And, yeah, we are more in control than we'd like to admit. That's crazy. Shaw got my mind kind of thinking outside the box right now. So for us in a time like this, where you're constantly going, we live in a culture where we're constantly going, we don't really take time for ourselves. What are some ways that you create safe mental spaces for yourself as a man, as a human being? Like, what are some ways you just kind of step away from the rat race of life and deal with your own mental?
Man, super huge, man. Super huge, bro. As far as mental health goes, I feel like, for whatever reason, we just don't take that. We don't take it seriously.
Yeah.
But it's pivotal, man. Super super huge, because what comes from our mind, everything that exists right now is a product of thought.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like.
say that again for the people.
Whatever that exists right now is a product of thought, whether we like it or not. Right. And I like it, like, our minds are like gardens, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, once we come into this world, like, you know, our brains are gardens. You know what I'm saying?
You water it, you nurture it, you...
Yeah, like, to the fullest. So it can either grow, like, you know... But again, as a gardener, right? Like, you can dictate whether or not it grows, like, these, like, you know, very tasty fruits.
Yeah.
And vegetables or whatever.
Yeah.
Or... The shit that grow weeds.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But you are in charge of that.
Yeah.
You are in charge of your garden, and your mind is a garden.
And you know the weeds are inevitable, right? Because you really ain't in control. You in control of eliminating the weeds, but you know that the weeds gonna come. They're gonna come. So your job is to like pluck out the bad stuff and let that, so that the good stuff could grow.
Exactly. So again, so with mental health, because of that very reason, you know, you want to make sure that you taking in the right things, my boy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You want to make sure you're listening to the right music.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that you're reading the right books.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you into spirituality or religion or whatever it is, you want to make sure you're doing...
Tapped into
the right
source.
You know, you want to make sure you're tapping into the right source.
Yeah.
You know? You don't have to be on social media all the time.
Right.
You could journal.
Right.
You could listen to some music.
Right.
You know, you could read some books that will help you to elevate your spirit, elevate, you know... You know, your value, you know, based on who you are, you know, you can work on, you know, certain visions that are going to help to nourish, you know, the future. Like, these are things that you can work on, you know what I'm saying? And as a black man, from the Caribbean, we already know, like, we weren't talking about mental health. Any conversation about mental health with us, like, it was taboo.
I've been talking about this on the podcast. Like,
it's been taboo.
Yeah, it's been taboo, bro. Like,
so much so, it was so far-fetched that people couldn't even properly identify if they had a mental issue. And that's what I mean. Because for me, you know what I'm saying? I thought that was like, you know, I was like, nah, you know, I'm from home. Whatever it is, whatever, like, arrogance I had.
Yeah, of course.
I just didn't see myself as being qualified, you know, for that type of vibes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And dealing with my issues with my pops day and that kind of vibes. You know what I'm saying? So I just were like, I ain't got them type of issues.
Yeah.
But nah, bro, I felt like, you know, when I look at the spectrum,
yeah,
you know, I was affected in a major way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it was because it was my inability to recognize it and accept it for what it is. I think that's kind of what allowed me to have to play a certain level of catch up. You know, but
that denial, plausible deniability, like, it's crazy the amount of things.
And it's okay. That's a thing, you know. That's a bit of thing, you know. And when people hear that, okay, even just hearing that, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's like
shocking. Yeah, like, whoa.
Like, we've been through a lot, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? As a people, we've been through, you know, slavery, all of that type of rights, passing generations.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And we learned, we developed coping mechanisms just to get through, but that's the thing. Coping and dealing is two different things, where, like, coping is just doing it because I have to get through it. It's not actually doing the work. And that's what slavery did to us. It put this S on our chest that we didn't have a choice, right? It was like, either put the S on your chest and, like, figure it out, or succumb to the situation at hand.
Right.
But then, of course, generations and generations of it, we become so good at it that, like...
And it's a profile that exists, too. Because we told, you know, it's like we went through... Hey, bro, hear this here, right?
Mm-hmm.
After slavery, it's like we want a bottom of the barrel type of vibe, you know? But then you gain an opportunity to equally see, like, the height of a man.
Yeah.
You're going to try to associate with yourself with that, like, half-rip.
Yeah.
So, socioeconomic, you know, dynamics creating the lowest form of you, but yeah, you see, like, you know, these, like, you know, I don't know, dudes just prospering in the 60s, just having homes and families, like, that's a hell of a fucking
spectrum, like, yeah, like, how do I get to that guy without selling out, without being an Uncle Tom,
you call to a high task immediately, you know what I'm saying, without any kind of, like, remember, you know, these mangos kind of step into that kind of a vibe, you know?
Right.
You gotta lay the bricks on the foundations to get to that point. That's a hell of an ass, bro.
And that's a hell of a pressure now.
Yes.
On not only on men. Because at the end of the day, black men, bro. Because we're like, oh, like, okay, I gotta grind. I got, you know, I love my family, but, like, hey, wifey, I'm gonna be back because I'm about to walk this next 12 hours to try and get what Johnny have.
We were asked to close a gap in our everything that exists about our ability to, like, succeed right now is far fetched, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't think that the world recognizes that.
Wow. You
know
what I mean?
And me had to say that, like, you know, they should let up on us per se.
Right.
Or, like, give us no kind of a blank, because we're going to rise to the occasion, because we showed that we could do that.
Less. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? For sure.
But at the same time, like, you got to look at where we're coming from.
Yeah.
And I think people will forget, my boy. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll forget. Like, it's just, we forget.
Yeah.
But I can understand why we forget.
Yeah.
Because it's a thirst for prosperity.
Right.
Yeah? It's a thirst for wanting to be associated, and it's a thirst
for a certain class.
Yeah, we just want to feel even. Yeah. So, like, it's like...
So, whatever it takes...
Whatever it takes, bro.
Yeah. I just want to feel even. Right. I just want to feel like... Okay, such and such ain't better than me because color the skin.
I could make this salary.
Yeah.
I could have a home in this place.
I have this education.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, but, because of our rush doing that, we don't get to properly heal.
Nah.
We don't get to properly build ourselves up in a way that's formidable. That's how come we always hang in this spot. That's why, you know, what's going on, don't gotta CNN Center exists. That's why going on, that's why all of the stuff is going across the country.
Yeah.
Because we never really had an opportunity to properly build, you know what I'm saying? And to probably root ourselves in a way that would allow us to be able to withstand all of this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why they could agitate a sorted narrative.
Right.
That's why, you know,
the agent provocateurs of the world.
Right, that's why they could sit, yeah, they, you know what I'm saying? And that's why we don't even have any real direction.
Yeah.
Right now, analysis. Right now, like, to me, the energy is right. Because to me, the energy is energy.
It's genuine. Strong, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's just...
And if it's not directed in the right direction... Way,
then, yeah, the people perish.
Yeah, nobody wins.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it just creates upheaval.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if it's not... If it doesn't happen on a consistent level...
Yeah.
Only a certain people suffer. You know what I mean? And I feel like if we, you know, and I say we because I associate myself, you know, with the, you know, black and brown folk.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Me as well.
Like, if we are not able to go ahead and, like, deal with it in a practical way.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to look, like, with... Like, all of this is going to look bad on us. Yeah. It's going to look bad, you know? We're going to look like the agitators.
Right.
We're going to look like the ones that are... You know, we're going to fit the narrative
that they want. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That they set up to hold us back.
So, you know, like, you know, you got to make it count.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Make it count and make it speak, you know?
Absolutely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you all enjoying this conversation. This conversation has been brought to you tonight by Tito's. Tito's vodka right now is holding out the fort.
That's a fact.
Yeah, Sean brought that. We are social distancing, but tonight I was, you know, he lives in Atlanta. I live in Atlanta. We're doing the 6 feet apart and all that, but it's good to have some interpersonal communication for the podcast because, as y'all know, I've been doing remote for the past however many podcasts I've put out over this COVID thing. And I'm grateful for technology, but, you know, you still miss that interpersonal communication. So I'm glad that Sean has joined me on the show. Let's go back to your journey a little bit with your career. So now you go to college. High school. Did we touch high school? Where did you go for high school?
I went to Charlotte Amalie.
Charlotte Amalie, okay.
You know, I could kind of fling through that. So, yeah, I went to Charlotte Amalie.
Yeah.
We're playing sports. Had every ambition of wanting to play sports in college.
What sport was your sport?
Or
were you like a multi-sport?
I was a multi-sport guy. Okay. I played football and baseball.
Okay, okay. Them Rockman is baseball players for sure, from the roots.
Yeah, I mean, V.A. man is baseball players for sure.
For sure.
You know what I mean? I ran a little bit of track.
Okay.
You know, I was pretty solid.
Okay.
I don't know.
Humble flex, guys. Humble flex.
Yeah, nah, for whatever reason, I felt like I need to play football, but I probably should have played baseball.
Okay, okay.
If I play baseball.
You would make a lot more money to do a lot less.
Yes, exactly.
And you probably could walk away, you know, and you'd still be able to play with your son without having to worry about...
CCTE.
CCTE, thank you.
Yeah, CCTE.
Thank
you. Yes, you know what I mean? Yes, like, I remember, like... You know,
anyway, couple percent.
I don't get into that.
Yeah. That's a different podcast for a different time.
I don't want to insult anybody.
Yeah,
but anyways, man. So, wanted to play sports, but I was very much a creative. Started off as an architect major and was kind of working my way through, the undergrad era.
Yeah.
Did architecture for a year. I messed around with a lot of different things, man, but it really kind of funneled its way into, like, multimedia.
Okay.
And, ended up getting my degree at, I was going to say Charlotte Amalie. I love Charlotte so much.
Yeah.
I got my degree at UVI in communications, and at that time I was doing, like, a simultaneous internship with TV2.
Okay.
Which was a CBS affiliate. Back in the Virgin Islands.
Yeah.
That's where I kind of learned a lot of my chops. I learned how to tell stories there as a reporter. You know, being able to take raw information in the day, disseminate it, make it make sense, and be able to, like, you know, spit out a story, you know, on the back end. You know?
And not to cut you off, but I think TV2 doesn't get enough credit for, like, raising a generation, right?
TV2 is super instrumental.
Matter
of fact, I'm gonna give some shout outs. I think some of these guys are actually out here doing some work, but Natafa Roman.
Yeah, okay.
Natafa is out here doing He's doing.
I know USVI ambassadors. Yeah, he's doing that show.
The ambassadors.
Yeah.
Shalimar Poo, who was a production. He was heavy in production. Production supervisor.
Okay.
He worked on a couple of pretty major sets.
Okay.
For some pretty important movies, Spider-Man, like back in the day.
Sick.
But he was very instrumental in like bringing me along, man, and like that was where I earned my chops at, bro. I just learned everything: camera work, lighting, editing, storytelling, what have you. And I was able to take what I learned within that specific place.
Yeah.
And just turn it into like my own vibe.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And just being able to work there, I just started to test concepts and ideas outside of that space. And that's how I was able to go to build confidence to do what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Outside of that. Just telling my own stories or what have you.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So just that work experience. Of course, you can't beat experience,
right?
You can't beat that. Beats a classroom every time.
Nah, so the funny thing is, I can sit down and look at it right now and be like, I frown upon it back then. I was like, man, like, I don't want to be doing this, right?
So, yeah.
You know, I remember like being a little miserable, mostly because I wasn't, I guess, creating the type of work that I wanted to create.
Yeah.
And like, feeling like I had the tools and the resources to do. Like for me, I just always wanted to have like the crew, and the crew just like support me like unconditionally.
Yeah.
And they did that, but they did it within their constraints.
Yeah.
But I guess for me, it was just about like, just like being able to do my own thing. I just always wanted to do my own thing.
Yeah.
Be able to tell my own story, my own stories, just be able to create, concepts on the things or about the things that I was most interested in.
So you were stuck in a rock and a hard place because you're gaining this knowledge and this is actually helping you. But at the same time, it does come up time where, you're pushing their agenda, right? It's about what, and it becomes, sometimes it gets to a place where you start doing it just for a check because it's like, you're hot in it no more. And we've all been there, I know how that feels where you go into something super, super excited and, we all have our own expectations of what we think something looks like. So you probably got the TV too and was like, all right, cool. I'm going to do what I have to do. But like after a while, I'm pretty sure like I'm going to get to a level where they're going to allow me to curate and create. At a certain level, and when you probably didn't receive that in that kind of fashion or time frame, what you felt, then it kind of got a little bit hurt, and you start kind of tapping out. I know I've been there as well. So then you go ahead.
No, so I was gonna say I think back then it was actually far fetched in that time.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
We're now spoiled. We spoil now.
Because you don't need nobody.
But exactly. Yeah, because of the dynamics. You can leverage, you have YouTube and all these other platforms.
Your phone.
So you could leverage certain things.
Yeah.
Back then.
Back then you had to go through
it was just
somebody
like,
above you.
It was just like, I had to earn my stripes because they had to earn their stripes.
Yeah.
These were just all generational practices. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, all right, cool. Like, if you don't, we'll give you this. But like I remember, I did like short films and all that, and they would only give me mind you, now they bless me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I probably would have had to pay for like that type of spot.
Yeah.
But they gave me like 30-second spots just to promote my own little projects here and there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, to me, that wasn't enough. Like, I want more. Like, I felt like I created something that deserves a little bit more.
Yeah.
It has a following, people that are connected to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they didn't quite green like that type of vibe. So, for me, it was just like, where else do I go to be able to actualize that?
Yeah.
But now, like, YouTube exists where you could do that. You know what I mean?
That's it.
Or you can even have, you can even have a nice sound product or project.
Yeah.
And, I'm sure right now, if I go to produce a film, I could go and speak to the representatives of Tidal or Vimeo or whoever it is
and
ask them to premiere my vibe. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier now.
Yeah.
Than it is.
To the point of where I feel like the gatekeepers feel like they have to a certain extent, make it a little more difficult because it is that easy now.
Yeah,
so
which is all a facade because we're the players now.
Yeah,
you know,
it's the Wild West. It's everybody.
The people that produce the content are the real
winner. Because now the corporation coming to the small, you know, to that small creator and be like, you know, as long as they have their own buzz, hey, we see something going on over here. We'd love to, you know, we'd love to get with that instead of it being vice versa, where you begging. CNN or something, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
They definitely listening to you now. They have to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, without content, you're dead.
Yeah.
You
know, so. And we see that now with Corona because, you know, think about it. Even like a man like us, we love sports. So ESPN is a big, you can ask anybody who knows me. ESPN is always on in my house. But during Corona, I actually kind of shut off ESPN. Outside of like the Jordan doc, because that was major. That was pretty major.
That was pretty major.
And they knew it because they needed content, and they dropped it when they dropped it.
That was a hell of a project, though. That's a project you want to drop.
That's it. So, but now for like an ESPN, you literally you're a one track pony to an extent, right? You're sports.
Right.
Now, sports has different dynamics to it, so you can break it down. And now with social media, you can give the behind the scenes and stuff. But for the most part, they had to like create content out of thin air because there's no live sports.
Nothing at all.
So it's a lot of replays. Even with the Jordan doc, the way they would do it, they would play the doc, then they would have a sports center after the doc, like describing the doc, but like in real time. Yo, Michael Jordan just scored 60 on Cleveland. Like if it was yesterday, but this is, you know, so just to see how they were, you know. Yeah, they probably arrogantly say that they got through Corona, but I saw it with my eye. They were struggling.
They were.
Yeah, it's
crisis management across the board, bro.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And to me, that's a beautiful thing, bro. You know, I know why? In so many different respects, because on one end, like to me, like that's no different than what like we've had to do.
Right.
We've been playing crisis management
Since time, bro. As the Canadians say.
So if anything, it's like, yo, welcome to my world,
from
bro.
Time, G.
Yeah, welcome. Yeah. Yeah, from time, G. That man introduced to our world.
And that's good.
Because right now, you know, the world is pivoting in a way.
Yeah, it's pivoting.
Where it's targeting, like, you know, specific types of content.
Facts.
And that's a good thing because now, you know, we get to shake the cage up a little bit.
Yeah.
We get to dictate exactly what we want to see, how we want to do it. You know what I mean? We have a lot more power than we allow ourselves to think that we do, man. You know what I mean?
And the internet was the great equalizer. That's what I call it.
For sure.
The internet was a great equalizer.
So, you know, we just got to build on that.
Yeah.
We got to build on that.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is that it's not like content cannot be produced.
Right.
We still produce content.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just in a different...
Different light, maybe.
Different light, and the context changes.
Yeah.
The dynamics changes.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more realer.
Yeah.
Which is cool, because to me, I think that's what we need right now, too. We don't need the falsified, like, elevated, you know, fluffy, like, bullshit. You know what I'm saying? We need some real shit.
Yeah.
Like, we need real content. We want to hear how people really getting through their days. You know what I'm saying? We want to hear what kind of books you reading.
Yeah.
Like, what you doing to lift your spirit?
Yeah.
What you doing to get your business got flow? Like, that's what we want to hear.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear about makeup.
Yeah. Well, some people do.
No, which is true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not even makeup. Yeah. Okay, sorry. I didn't mean it this way.
Yeah, yeah. But the ladies, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. They're like, they got to need the finest thing. Yeah. I don't like this thing. But even about more makeup, but skincare.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, how do we restore ourselves in a way that
I see what you're saying.
To be able to be much more
fuller and more
elevated
substance
time.
And yeah, I get that. Because
it's a substance time, bro.
It's a substance time. 2020, bro. Yeah, I think 2020 pulling out of us, bro.
Because,
like,
yeah, you can't,
what doesn't matter doesn't matter. If you wasting time on that stuff right now, bro, you are severely misled, bro.
I would be the first person to tell people that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like all of that is a subset, is a byproduct. No, I get it, if it's important, if that's your bread and butter, you know, I get it. You know what I'm saying? I could get how, me speaking about your bread and butter, Me speaking about anybody better, I'm about to piss them out.
Yeah,
talking about we're bringing in my money.
Right, nobody like the pocket watcher. You know nobody like,
nah,
yeah,
nah,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
But nah, but at the end of the day, like, for me, ain't even about the dollar.
Right.
Your check, to me, I feel like it's a character thing, it's a topic thing. Because, you know, once you put your energy in, once you put the right energy into those things,
yeah,
you know what I mean? You're like, you'll win regardless.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of whatever I say, you know what I mean?
Another thing, intent is like everything. I feel like people with good intent are gonna win regardless. And you have to move on conviction, bro. Like,
that's
the
it.
Whole thing is like, a lot of people ain't gonna see your vision, and that's okay. Yeah, check. That's
cool,
okay,
bro. It's, like, ain't for everybody.
Ain't for everybody, and that's life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel like people that drive Hondas, people that drive
Benzes,
whatever. Get different. The palette different. You know what I mean?
Pockets different. All type of things different. Like, I can't look at Johnny and think, you know, my life is supposed to be like Johnny. Oh, John, I don't know what Johnny has gone through to get that.
Yeah.
It could be good, it could be bad. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It could be both.
It don't matter.
It don't matter. That's not, don't, that ain't your business. That ain't your business at all. So, what do you have now that you're working on? Like, what is your, you know, talk to the people about S-Dot. Talk to them about your vision. You know, if you have a plea right now of people that you want to, you know, work with, or you want people to get on board, what is next for you as it applies to like your visual arts and where you see yourself taking yourself, you know, to the next level?
For me, definitely I'm just picking up on a lot of the things that I've neglected for a long period of time.
Mm.
I think for the most part, like I'm very much a storyteller.
Okay.
You know, it's a lot of things that I have blowed dust on, but I'm wiping the dust off it right now. So
yeah,
just being able to get back into my scripts and being able to tell some of these you know, these fictional stories, definitely pertaining to the Virgin Islands. Like, one of the things that I definitely want to go ahead and talk about is our, you know, just dynamics regarding, you know, a lot of our culture.
Yeah.
You know,
we have a beautiful culture, man.
Yeah, the paradoxes that exist.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Some of my the movies that I fancy most and like value the most are films that are within that particular region, most specifically like City of God.
Okay.
I like the way City of God was captured.
City of God was nice. Honest.
You know what I'm saying? Another film director that I really pay attention to a lot is Khalil Joseph.
Okay.
Khalil Joseph did stuff for Flying Lotus and Sampha and some of these other people. He's really opened up my eyes into like, you know, Afrofuturism types, the type films. He did a lot of stuff for like for Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So he's really inspired a lot of the type of language that I'm interested in wanting to speak in right now. So I'm working on a couple of films and projects. I have one project that's going to be called Satori, which means sudden enlightenment. It's a Buddhist term for sudden enlightenment. And it's going to be exploring a lot of creatives within that, you know, the space of Atlanta.
Yeah.
And you know, what inspires their creativity. Just really want to be able to get into the inner workings of their creativity and what, you know, molds their interest in wanting to do whatever the hell it is that they do. So just some micro docs. I have a film called The Wild. I just started my new production company called The Wild Studios.
Okay.
So that's gonna be
got a new venture alert. Yeah, new venture alert.
Yeah, new venture alert. You know what I'm saying? So the idea is that, you know, it operates as a production company, but it's also sort of like a creative or collaborative atelier, essentially, where creative exchange could happen. You know, I'm very interested in research and in talking about dynamics in regards to film interest and what have you. So
and having like, different energy around you to work and right. So like a writer's space, essentially.
Yeah, kind of like a writer. Yeah, kind of like a, you know, it's own little writer's guild. Group, you know?
Yeah. Nice.
But want to be able to have people that can not only work on their own projects, but also be able to contribute or help us to be able to bend and sharpen, you know, the visions that we may have as far as, like, you know, the films are concerned.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just trying to be able to create that type of space and do that. So that's what's being worked on right now going forward. But
that's beautiful.
Yeah, man. And just some other little things, man. I've been interested in actually shouldn't even be talking about it too much. But
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, I feel like certain people deserve some documentaries, you know.
Okay.
You know. That are within the reggae space.
Yeah.
You know, I think those types of things, because we need to be able to tell our stories. Yeah. I think that's what it's getting at right now.
That's what it is. It's everybody very much, control the narrative, right?
Very, very much personalized.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Tell it how you want. Tell it while you're alive.
Right.
Get somebody to who sees your vision and rock with it.
Right. So yeah, that's kind of been the thing. That's been the thing that I've been working on right now. And yeah, man. I mean, that's on a small level. On a high level, as far as architecture and different things, like, you know, we definitely want to alter spaces and be able to create experiences and feels and, like, you know, do sensorial vibes where you come in and really feel, you know, like, not just look at a narrative, but you really feel a narrative.
We got some vibes in the background. Sean, what do you like to listen to? This is some talk to her. What kind of vibes is this as we wrap up the podcast?
I'm all for it. I'm all for everything, bro.
Yeah.
You know, world music. So, you know, OVO song, type vibes, right? Like,
OVO.
Yeah, you know, our kind of vibes, you know.
We're giving a lot of man shoutouts tonight. We need our checks. Let's go back again. Once again, Tito's. Tonight has been sponsored by Tito's. Indeed. Tito's, we need a check, man. The FYI, Fly Young Intellectual Podcast. We're trying to connect.
Yes, at the vibes.
OVO, it sounds like Drake, you know you're my guy. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you're gonna hear this, but
song, Joe
K. Yeah.
Joe
yeah.
from Soul Selection, you know what I'm saying? He actually sets the vibe for sure.
Yeah.
I like a lot of his mixes and just how, you know, he just curates his music. It's a beautiful thing, man. It sets the vibe.
The vibe. Man, I love the beautiful conversation we had tonight, bro.
Yeah.
Sean and I, we are working on this safe space that we want to create for men to be able to come talk, you know, as kings, be transparent with knowing that it's not gonna go anywhere. Yeah. It's not gonna go, you know, it's not gonna be used for evil, but we really want to, like, you know, help each other's brothers to move up. So as soon as this corona thing dies, and we are able to gather comfortably, we want to do this brunch, you know, kind of like mental health, men's mental health meets the Rock Nation brunch. Yeah. You know, come dappered up, look good, feel good. That's Fly Young Intellectual, you know what I'm saying? You know, open up your mind to some new shit, you know, and progressing to be the better version of yourself. So y'all stay tuned for that. But Sean, plug yourself, bro. Tell the people where to find you. We already talked about what you got, some of the stuff you got coming up. So let these people know where they can find you at, bro.
Yeah, man. Nah, man. So it's going to be like the wild.studio.
Okay.
The wild.studio. No .com. You know, we control our own extensions and all that.
So okay. Talk your shit.
You know what I mean? Yeah, man. Nah, just, you know, for me, it's just about being able to curate experiences, being able to curate the way we interpret films, the way we experience films.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The way we build on work on and design different types of narratives. So
yeah,
that's kind of the vibe going forward, man. So, you know, you're going to see a lot of, like, pop-ups from me, a lot of, like, pop-up shops, a lot of, like, you know, screenings and different, you know, obscure different types of venues. And just being able to take you know, our experience of art to the next dimension, man.
Yeah.
That's really the vibe that I've been on. Like, how do we progress the way we experience films?
Beautiful.
Like, we shouldn't have to just go simply that's in the studio to experience them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to take you into a world and help you to be experiencing it in a higher level.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, just, you know, how do we make whatever it is that we do or whatever we touch better, man? That's really all the vibe. That's the vibe.
Beautiful.
You know, we make whatever it is we do better and more elevated for the next generation.
Level up. Leave the world in a better place.
Indeed.
For everybody who's after us and who wants to be better, man. My bro, I appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely.
We need to have more of these conversations, and I'm gonna do my part. I know you're gonna do your part, and I appreciate you as always, man. Until next time, this is the Flying Intellectual Podcast. Y'all know where to find me. Hit me up. I'm put my socials in the next slide. Peace. Yo, man, thanks for tuning into my podcast. Please don't forget to review, rate, and share. That would help me out a lot, and it helps get the platform bigger and better. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's @FlyYoungIntellectual. Hit me on Twitter, @Mister_FYI. connect with me, man. 2020, we're doing bigger and better things. If you really like the platform, tell somebody about it, man. Until next time, peace.